We're talking about the link between what you eat and how well your brain works.
Alzheimer's is on the rise in the United States. Some doctors say we can fight back by eating the right foods, getting enough exercise.
We want to know what you do to keep yourself healthy. Have you made a diet change recently and noticed a big difference?
You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or if you have a question about what you should be eating, 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
Dr. Neil Barner joins us now. He's the author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. He's the founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Dr. Barner, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Well, how widespread is Alzheimer's in the United States right now?
It's widespread and it's growing. We have 5 million Americans already affected by it. That figure is projected to rise, probably triple in coming decades. And for each of those people, that means their family members are affected. The financial toll of it is astounding. It's about $70,000 for one single person for residential care for a year's time, and you multiply that by 5 million people who are affected. But what really counts here is the personal devastation of it, that you've got everything that ever mattered to a person is ripped away and lost. So I've seen this personally. All four of my grandparents developed severe dementia late in life. My father passed away last year after a 10-year battle with dementia. It's a terrible thing. But the good news is that I think we could do a lot about it.
Well, I know that the focus of your book is on what we can do to, you know, prevent it and stave it off. But I am curious, when you see the growth of a disease like that, I don't know if it's epidemic proportions, but why is it growing like that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, two reasons. The first is that there are more old people than there have been before. The baby boomers are reaching old age. But the other reason is I think that we are now reaping the fruit of what I would call the fast food revolution of the 1970s. People ate Well, frankly, people were not eating very well before. But with the advent of fast foods, meat intake rose dramatically, cheese intake rose, sugar intake rose, and our diets were not good, and they became much, much, much worse. And I think that we're seeing the results of that.
So can we really avoid Alzheimer's if we eat the right foods? It sounds kind of simple.
Well, I think it is simple in the sense that a generation ago, heart disease was a mystery. If you were 50, you'd have a heart attack. And then researchers said, wait a minute, maybe that's actually not part of getting older. Maybe that's a disease process that comes from eating fat and cholesterol and smoking. And suddenly the risk factors for heart disease became abundantly clear. And now we know that you can prevent heart disease. You can even reverse it. Now, a generation later, we are doing exactly the same thing with brain diseases. And I give a lot of the credit to researchers in Chicago at Rush University there who set out interviewing thousands of people about what they're eating and about their lifestyle practices, exercise. How often did they lace up their sneakers? And then they looked at who stayed mentally clear as the years went by and who succumbed to memory problems, who lapsed into Alzheimer's disease. And other researchers are picking up the same challenge. And we have found risk factors for Alzheimer's disease that not only are they analogous to the risk factors for heart disease, in some cases they are exactly the same ones. And what is bad for the heart does seem to be bad for the brain. They're not identical, but they're very close.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned you were touched by Alzheimer's. I am too. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. And my grandfather is still here. He's going to be 98 years old. And he ate lard sandwiches. And my grandmother was, she didn't eat a lot. She ate pretty well. And she got Alzheimer's, as did, the previous two or three generations, that came before her. So you think it's dietary and not a genetic disease?
It's both. There is a gene, and it's called the ApoE epsilon 4 allele. And if you get it from one parent, your risk of developing Alzheimer's is tripled. If you get it from both parents, your risk of the disease is multiplied by a factor of 10 to 15. And for many people, that's where the book would close. It's genetic. You're going to get it, and that's it. But what we have learned is that this gene can be modified. What the gene does is it doesn't give you Alzheimer's. What it does is it creates a carrier protein in the blood that escorts cholesterol around in the bloodstream and in the brain. And it appears that if you don't eat saturated fat, I'm speaking about the animal fat that's in, particularly in dairy products, also in meat, in eggs, And as well as the trans fats that are in donuts and other snack foods, if you're avoiding those to a great degree, your cholesterol is going to drop. There's less for that gene to do. And in the Chicago study I mentioned earlier, the people who avoided these fats had a dramatic reduction in their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Now, that's just one step, but it's a huge one. It's like smokers quitting smoking. It's a clear-cut risk factor, I believe, something that we have control over, and something that our limitation now is just, are people aware of the importance of it?
So you're saying we can't control the genes, we can control the risk factor to a certain extent.
Yes, and here's really, I think, the most important issue is that some genes are dictators, the genes for blue eyes. They give orders, and you're going to have blue eyes whether you want them or not. But the genes for many diseases, Alzheimer's, diabetes, weight problems, those genes are not dictators and they don't give orders. They're more like committees that sort of make a recommendation. You could get Alzheimer's if you eat these foods. And interestingly enough, we saw that with cancer. There are genes for lung cancer. But what the genes do is they cause the body to have trouble eliminating carcinogens. So if you don't smoke and you're not inhaling carcinogens, suddenly that gene is left high and dry. So what if I had a bowl of oatmeal for breakfast? What if I followed a vegetarian diet? What if I'm not eating animal fat? Then suddenly the role that that gene might have is dramatically changed. And again, that's just one step. There are other steps that hopefully we'll talk about. But I grew up in Fargo, and I have to say I spent the first half of my life eating all the wrong things, but as did most of everybody.
Are we
but,
doomed if we did eat the wrong things? Can we still make a difference now?
There have been some really interesting studies, including things that you can add to the diet and also exercise. Researchers at the University of Illinois looked at people who are losing brain volume year by year. I'm talking about their brains actually shrinking. And what they asked them to do was lace up their sneakers 3 times a week, take a brisk walk. And it reversed brain shrinkage, especially in the part of the brain we call the hippocampus, which is the center for memory. So we're not just slowing brain shrinkage, we're reversing it. Researchers at the University of Cincinnati started using blueberries and grapes and foods that are very high in certain kinds of antioxidants called anthocyanins. They showed that even with people having memory problems, people up near 80 years of age, they could improve their memory. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't want to abuse your body and then when you're 85, start eating in a healthful way. Because researchers at Kaiser Permanente, found one of the most frightening findings of all. And they showed that the higher your cholesterol level, the higher your risk of Alzheimer's, but the cholesterol that seemed that they found was a problem was the cholesterol when you're 40 years old. So if you can imagine a high cholesterol at 40 causing Alzheimer's 3 decades later, well, it makes you want to get your diet in order as early as possible.
Yeah, it definitely does. So, well, let's get to the brass tacks of it. So what should we be eating right now, today? You know, the minute this interview is done, we're going to go to the grocery store. What should we be buying to eat that's going to help?
Well, there are four broad food groups that really ought to be our dietary staples. And those are fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and the fourth group is legumes, or you can think of it as beans. Beans, peas, lentils. Vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and beans. To that, I think everyone should be taking either a multiple vitamin or a vitamin B12 supplement. The relevant thing here is the B12, which is essential for protecting the nerves and the brain, and a lot of people are low in it. That's my prescription in a nutshell. The more we get away from animal products, dairy products and meat and eggs, the better. And the more we get away from fryer grease, which packs itself into donuts and snack foods and French fries, the better off we're going to be. For extra points, little sprinkling of walnuts or almonds or sunflower seeds will give you some vitamin E, which is an antioxidant that has been shown to really cut the risk of Alzheimer's. And maybe finally, on the big food headlines, be careful about metals. Iron and copper have shown up in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. So that cast iron pan and those copper pipes are things that we're
bad?
Yes. Or at least that's the evidence that we have. You need a little bit of iron for healthy blood cells. But if you have too much iron, We learned a long time ago it attacks the heart. There is now evidence that it also harms the brain and copper. You need tiny traces of copper, less than a milligram a day, for enzyme function. If you have too much, in the Chicago study, people who had the combination of a high-fat diet, high saturated fat diet, plus high copper intake, it was the equivalent of 19 extra years of aging with regard to the cognitive decline these people experience.
Wow.
Copper is found in copper pipes. It's in it's added to multiple vitamins, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be. It's in shellfish, lobster, crayfish, crabs, shrimp, there's a boatload of it in liver. Now that we know where these things are, we can avoid them.
Well, lots of interesting stuff, and we're going to keep going after a break for news. We're talking to Dr. Neil Barnard, author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. He's a founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Do you have a question about what to eat, what to do to boost your brain health? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you already doing these things? Give a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation now about the link between nutrition and brain health with Dr. Neil Barnard.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Call in with your questions about what to eat, what to do to protect your brain.
Dr. Barnard is the author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. Now, you were talking about the four main food groups, Dr. Barnard, and, you know, it made me wonder, should everyone just go vegan?
Yes, they should. And the closer you get to that, the better off you are. And I have to say, for me, when I first learned about this, I thought, okay, that means you got to acquire a taste for folk music, break out the tie-dye, and whatever. But what I've learned, the way I've really made my own peace with it, is that if you think sort of international, if you're going out to an Italian dinner, I've got to tell you, they've got a million ways to top your pasta that doesn't include animal products. Or if you go Mexican, they know what beans and rice and veggie fajitas are. And if you think about all of the Asian countries, they have a million ways of doing it. And frankly, it makes the way I ate as a child seem kind of pedestrian. So I have to say it's a good idea to get the animals off your plate.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got a bunch of folks waiting to talk to you. Kathy is first from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm wondering about the relationship with coconut oil and preventing or reversing the effects of Alzheimer's.
Great question. Coconut oil has been promoted as a commercial product, and it's the controversy is that it's extremely high in saturated fat, the bad fat that we were speaking of. But some people have reported anecdotally that it seems to help. I cannot yet separate what is science and what is marketing. So I'm not joining the coconut oil bandwagon yet.
Okay, interesting. Thanks, Kathy. And on to Tim calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Interesting topic. I'm wondering if there's a blood test besides whether I have too much copper in my body, and also I'm remodeling my house, and actually I'm using copper instead of the CPVC plastic because I'm worried about the chemicals in the plastic leaching into my water supply. I'm wondering which is the lesser of the two evils.
There's a great question. Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Oh, good heavens. You've really touched on a couple things. Blood test, yes. There is any doctor can test for this gene I was mentioning. It's called the APOE. That's APOE, all capitals, then small e and 4, the number 4. That's what they're looking for. Doctors can all check it. A lot of people don't want to know because in the past they felt condemned. But your doctor can easily run it and it's cheap. With regard to copper pipes versus plastic pipes, my strong suggestion is that if you have copper pipes, that you use them for washing and everything else, but I wouldn't drink it. Fairly simple filter can remove the copper if you wish to drink it, or you can get those big tanks delivered of water, the big tanks of water, and you can have them delivered and changed every week or so.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tim. And let's go next to Barbara calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Barbara.
What about how often is an indulgence in something like Milwaukee's great frozen custard too often?
Right, that doesn't count,
got
right,
a really
Dr. Barnard?
Clean diet, fruits, veggies, green leafy, everything, beans, you name it. Don't eat meat, very little dairy other than custard.
The thing that I find almost always happens, it's very much like a smoker who says, I cannot live without a cigarette. But once they haven't had one for a while, they no longer want it. So I would plan to have custard on your 100th birthday. And by the time it happens, if you remember it, then I think you could have it.
Okay, I don't know if that's the answer she wanted, but there you go.
You know, I have to hand it also to the grocers. They have really stepped up to the plate. There are so many non-dairy ice creams and mayonnaise and everything else. Some of them are pretty high fat still, some of them lower in fat, but the products are getting out there.
Now, your book is referring to a 3-step plan. We talked about exercise. We talked about diet. What is the third?
There are brain threats that I want people to be aware of, and this has been such a fascinating area. There was a NASA astronaut in training named Dwayne Gravelin. He was a physician, and he drove home from work one day. When he got there, there was a strange woman standing outside his house, and it happened to be his wife, but he didn't recognize her. His memory for her was gone, and needless to say, troubled her and him. They drove to the emergency room and they tried to sort out how could his memory have failed. He couldn't remember his own wife. And to make a long story short, the answer was he was on a statin drug, a cholesterol-lowering drug. At the time, this was unheard of. Since then, we have had hundreds of cases of people on statin drugs with memory problems. Now, before everybody throws their statins away, let me hasten to say that statins do lower cholesterol. Lowering cholesterol is a good thing, and this side effect is rare. But the moral of the story is if somebody has a quick change in their mental status or memory, they should run to the bathroom and see what medicines the person has been taking, because they add up. And statins, among many others, are suspect number one with memory threats.
Okay. Good to know. Another phone call now. Catherine with us from Oshkosh. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I'm a student at UW-Oshkosh, and I have been conducting research regarding the lack of dental care for the underinsured in Wisconsin for about 4 years now. And through my research of other studies, I have found two different articles that have been published. The universities, one is in Tennessee and one in Switzerland, where they have found a correlation between an increased number of dental extractions and dementia. And I'm wondering if you have heard about that.
The question that we've been wrestling with is mercury. That mercury is used for fillings, and then mercury is a clear-cut neurotoxin. But many dentists have said they don't want to remove it because maybe the process of removal, you'll inhale it and you'll end up with bigger problems. It's still an open controversy. Where I am putting my money is I think it's good to remove it and to use a system that allows the vapors to be removed from the mouth in the process. But that's still a matter of scientific controversy, and nobody knows really if that's the issue.
So you haven't yourself had that done?
You're asking Catherine?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, yes, I have.
You have. So you got your fillings removed. So if you're doing it, you're really putting your money where your mouth is.
Well, you know, fillings don't last forever. I mean, you got to change the spark plugs on them every now and then. And so when you, in other words, they crack, they break. And so when you replace them naturally, you can replace them with modern enamels. And there are lots of things other than mercury.
So are there any other things that we've missed that people really should be doing, even sort of baby steps that we could be taking that would really have a big impact?
Yeah. First of all, do get to know the plant-based foods. For many people, just the idea of what tastes great on your morning oatmeal and getting to know those foods, bringing them in your life. So experimenting with that is a good idea. At some point, do try a vegan diet for 3 weeks. Have fun with it. We have online programs that we use to help people. But one other thing is I encourage physicians and healthcare providers to remember that there are also medical conditions that affect the brain. A person comes in and they've got memory problems. Maybe it's Alzheimer's, but it could be low thyroid. It could be anemia. It could be, in some cases, gluten intolerance. Now, that's become fashionable to avoid gluten, but for about one in every 10 people, it's real. And so to be aware of these things is a really good thing, both for patients and for their doctors.
You think if people start doing this, we'll start seeing that Alzheimer's rate dipping again?
Only if they do it. A generation ago, we dealt with tobacco, and there was a lot of wrangling and fighting. And even in my own hospital, it was a big battle of whether we could actually ban smoking in the hospital or the doctor's lounge. Well, I'm happy to tell you that we won that battle, and tobacco's gone. We are now wrestling with food, and we have industries and tastes and habits and, I might even say, sort of in quotes, addictions lining up on one side and concerns on the other side. I think we can wrestle with that battle. We can win.
All right. We'll leave it there. Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I'm talking to Dr. Neil Barnard, author of Power Foods for the Brain.
He is speaking at Milwaukee Area Technical College tonight at 7 p.m. He's also speaking this Friday in Green Bay.